I just like the fact that we are workers together. And, you know, God blesses us all who are open to him with a word in due season. And whether you have a title of pastor or preacher or elder or bishop or minister, we are all servants of God. Amen. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have the word of truth in some degree as we're growing. And when the Holy Spirit is present, everyone can give a word. That was kind of weak, but that's okay. Because you may not think you can, but you can. You can. The Spirit of life lives in every one of us. So he equips us at every time. Because see, everybody's not going to come to the church, the building. That's why God sent the church among the people. And so because you and I are the church, he's equipped us to carry his life and his truth everywhere we go. You know, we have this gift. We have this, the Bible says, in earthen vessels, in these bodies of clay. God has put his spirit and put his word in us. So all we have to do is, by faith, open our mouths and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak through us. So thank you to the ministers that served, and thank you to each and every one of you. We're ready to get into the word today. I want to invite our attention to a couple of places of scripture. Can you all hear me? Good. Okay. Good. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, please. Yes, Lord, we praise you in this place. Thank you, Jesus. While I was away, I was really kind of seeking God about what he was doing in me and what he was doing in this assembly in this hour and how he wants the church to be moving and how he wants us to be focused going forward, you know. Constantly reminding me that, you know, we can't drift through this human existence. But we have to have purpose and we have to have focus. You know, or else we'll be left out, as it were, of what God is doing. Or we'll miss the times and the seasons of the moves of God. And, you know, we sing a song here sometimes. I think the men sing it. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. And God wants his people to be at that place where we're aware of what God is doing, how he's doing what he does, and we are working with him. The Apostle Paul said that we are workers together with God. And we can't work together with God if we're not working off of the same, you know, set of plans and guidelines. God's doing one thing and God's people are doing something totally different, you know. God has a grand scheme, a plan for humanity, but I'm doing my own thing. So God keeps returning his people to focus on what he's doing so that by faith we can get an agreement with him. And if we get in line with what God is doing, he will use us mightily in his great work. He will bless us and continue to richly and abundantly bless our families. And our lives will really be lived on purpose. And we'll be living with a sense of joy and a sense of gratitude that God chose me to be a part of what he's doing. How many want to be a part of what God is doing in this hour? You know, we don't understand it all yet, but we've learned enough about this walk with God that I want to be with him. I believe all of us do. I saw your hands. That's why you're here today. That's why we sing. That's why we minister in music. That's why we serve, because we want to be a part of what God is doing in this hour. And so starting today and then going forward, we'll be sharing some things designed, I believe, by God just to keep us focused. Or if we've gone astray, to refocus us. so that the rest of this year will be even more productive than the first part of the year. And as God graces us to go into a new calendar year, we are on course, we're on track, we're in step with what God is doing, okay? So in Psalm 127, I'm reading from the King James Version. Obviously, if you have a different version, it'll read a bit differently. But in Psalm 127, and while you're turning there, from 120 to 134, it's referred to in the scriptures as songs of degrees in the King James, or songs of ascent. Does anyone have songs of degrees in your Bible? Starting at, well, you're not at 120, but you can see it at 127 at the top. It'll say a song of ascent. And some have what else? Song of degrees. Amen. Song of degrees, or psalm of ascent. From 120 to 134, each of those songs or psalms have that heading. And it said that these songs were sung or recited by the children of Israel as they made their journey up to Jerusalem to worship, to serve God. And so as they would travel from wherever they were dispersed to Jerusalem, they would be singing or reciting these songs or psalms, starting at 120 and then culminating at 134. In Psalm 120, David, it starts out just really focusing on himself and what he's going through. And as you go through each of those psalms, when you get to Psalm 134, they're in the sanctuary. And they're praising the Lord as they lift up their hands in the sanctuary. So what these psalms were intended to do, brothers and sisters, is to get our focus off of ourselves, or to get their focus off of themselves, and to put their focus, shift their focus as they went to worship on the living God, on God's faithfulness, on God's presence, on God's provision, God's protection, how God works things out for them and fixes things in their lives. So by the time they get to Jerusalem, their focus is lifting up holy hands and worshiping the true and the living God. How many know that God wants us to do the same thing? When we get up in the morning, as we give him thanks and praise for another day, and we start milling about the house and preparing to do whatever things it is that we have to do for the day, throughout the day, God wants us to learn to shift our attention from ourselves, as we realize just how faithful he is, and to begin to refocus that attention on his faithfulness, especially as we prepared this morning to come into the house of the Lord. By time we got here, and I've said this before, so it's nothing new. By time we get here, we should be ready. Yeah. Amen. We should be ready for worship and praise and thanksgiving. Thank God for the praise team. They're essential. They help to lead us into worship and praise. Thanks God for the worship leader. The worship leader helps to lead the people of God corporately as one in worship. But we should already be ready for worship when we get here. Amen. We shouldn't need anybody to stir us up. We shouldn't need anybody to pump us up. We shouldn't need anybody to, we should be ready. We should be smoking. We should be ready to give God praise when we get here. And all we need is for somebody to say, come on, let's praise the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So just keep that in mind as you go through your day. And as you prepare, whether it's going to work or whether it's coming to the meeting place, that you want to be prepared before you get there. Wherever it is. You want to be prepared by spending time with God and letting the Holy Spirit shift our focus. So when I get there, I'm ready. to serve God. I'm ready to worship Him. I'm ready to do whatever my assignment is. I'm ready to represent the kingdom of God because God has been preparing me from the time I got up this morning until the time I reached my destination. Amen. Amen. Then we won't be so worried and distracted and caught off guard and frustrated and angry and short-tempered and all those other things that we go through as human beings. But we'll be focused on God. So in 127, it's right in the middle of those Psalms. From 120 to 134, we have Psalm 127. Amen. Seven on the front end, seven on the back end, 15 in total. But we're going to look at Psalm 127. Amen. And it starts like this from the King James. Let me get there. Except or unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman stay awake or waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved what? Sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What I believe God wants us to be reminded of this morning, and it's very important, and that's simply, unless God is the one who builds the house, all of our efforts, all of our labors, all of our energies, all of our sacrifices are in vain. Now the word here for house in the Hebrew, it means family. And you can go to your Strong's Concordance or some other concordance. You can look it up in the Strong Concordance. It's number 1004. And it means family. And if you go through that word for house, in fact, throughout the entire Old Testament, you will only see that one word. There may be an exception, may have missed one here or there, but from Genesis all the way through Malachi, when it says house, that one word was used in the Hebrew, family. Unless the Lord builds the family, we labor in vain. Our efforts are for naught. Our time has been wasted. And brothers and sisters, it's important because I think we all understand that the family structure is different today than it was many years ago. There are many single parent homes. There are some homes, families that are, you know, that consist of a grandparent and a child. Or, you know, a parent and a child, or two parents. And so the family structure is different. But even though the composition is different, God wants his people to know that the same truth applies. Unless we submit ourselves to him to build, to structure our families the way he pleases, the way it pleases him, our time is wasted. We have the best of intentions. Amen. We can have the best of intentions. But still, we could be doing the wrong things at the wrong time without the right information, without any power, without any wisdom, without any revelation. And we're really just walking in place. We're marking time. Sometimes we're going backwards. And so as well-intended as we are, many times we're missing the mark because we're trying to do it our own way. We're even trying to have a family the way it seems best to me. Or I want a family the way my mother and daddy had a family. Or I want a family the way, you know, some people back in the 60s and stuff, they used to look at those families on TV. Right? Right? Husband, wife, two kids. Nice house, white picket fence. And they thought that that was the ideal family. I mean, those were the images that they saw on TV. Now a lot of people get their information from the internet or from magazines, and they take subscriptions and they look at certain people saying this is how the family should operate. But brothers and sisters, no one can tell us how a family should be but the one who created the family in the first place. The one who instituted, who created the whole concept of family is God, because he created everything. And he wants to structure and build and put our families together so that we can be blessed, so that we can have a full, enjoy this life, and we can really fulfill the purpose for which families exists. So the Bible reminds us, going forward, we need to submit our families to God. God, I don't know how to do this thing. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what I'm doing. I yield it to you. Except the Lord build the family, the house. They that build it are laboring in vain. How many of us are trying to make a household, trying to build a family? How many have that idea of what I want my family to look like and be? Did it come from God? Did it come from the Holy Spirit? Or did it come just from other things I've seen or things I've imagined? God has to do this, or you're wasting your time. So going forward in the remainder of this year, God is refocusing us to trust him to do it. Unless the Lord builds our families, you're wasting your time. Unless the Lord keeps watch over your city, unless the Lord keeps watch over your household, unless the Lord keeps watch over that which he's entrusted to us, our labors are in vain. People staying up all night, they can't sleep, worried about their money. Who's cheating me? Who's taking advantage of me? Who's trying to take something for me? Or they're worried about their lack of money. I don't have enough this. I can't pay my bills. I got a car note coming up. My house note is due. And all of these other things. I got some medical bills. I got, what am I going to do? We better turn to God. You and I better seek the Lord to guide us through this process, to get us out of this mess that we've gotten ourselves into. If God doesn't keep the city, you stand awake at night for nothing. Okay, how many guns you got? Okay, how many guns you got? You can stay up all night trying to guard your palace. But you can trust God to keep watch over everything he's given me, because the Bible says that for he gives, let's go to the next verse, then we'll continue. It is vain. You're wasting your time if you what? Get up early. Now that doesn't mean don't get up to go to work. That doesn't mean don't get up to pray and spend time in the presence of God. It's saying don't get up worrying. Says it's vain to rise up early, to stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. I'm worried. I'm so worried I can't sleep. I didn't get but 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm so worried. I'm up early. I couldn't go to bed last night. You know, my nerves were a wreck, and I'm just, you know, my mind was wandering, and I'm so worried and distraught. He says, for God gives his beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God for those that he loves and those that will trust him. God gives his beloved sleep. He says you're wasting your time if you're getting up early worrying. Wasting your time if you're staying up all night worrying. Wasting your time if you're eating your bread in sorrow. If you're sad, you can't enjoy your meals because you're just so, oh, I can't eat nothing. I tried to eat something, but it didn't have no taste. And, you know, I just couldn't keep it down. That's not how God wants his people to live. Come on, y'all. We might be there. But that's not where God wants us to be. He wants to bless you, bless me, bless his people with sleep. Yes. Wants you to have some rest and peace and to sleep well when you lay down at night. And I declare sleep for the people of God. In this house today, that when you go home tonight and you trust the Lord, you're going to sleep better than you've slept before or in a long time. And if you grab it, you might not have to wait till tonight. You might get home and sit on the couch, and the next thing you know, you're out like a light. Just Well, I'm just going to sit here for a few minutes until I eat my dinner. You out. It's comical, folks, but there are countless people that can't sleep. Or don't sleep well. Don't get a good full night's sleep, a deep sleep. Unless they have to take some sleep aid. And if you've heard the side effects on some of those sleep aids, you might end up wake up, you might be driving sleep. You might be sleep, get in your car, drive somewhere while you sleep. Don't even know that. What? Really? You want me to take this? No, thank you. I'm going to call on God and receive the blessing of sleep. Don't take it for granted. Receive it in Jesus' name. He gives his beloved sleep. So from this point on going forward, we don't want our time to be in vain. God doesn't want you wasting any more time. Your family depends on you as a head of household. We want to do it right. People are looking to you to provide. You want to do it right from this time on. I've made enough mistakes. How about you? I messed up enough money in my time. How about you? Made some bad decisions. And I know I'm not the only one. So for this time going forward, God says, now let me do it. Let me lead you. Stop worrying about it. Roll your cares on me. I care for you. I can fix what you messed up. What the quartet guy said, gonna clean up what I messed up? Start my life over again? God will clean up what we messed up. He'll give us a fresh start, a new start, if we choose to trust him with our family. You've got children, you've got marital issues, you've got issues with your children. Let God fix it. Let him instruct you on what to do. You know. Now we got to be willing to do it by faith. We can't let our own instincts, default mechanism, just jump in and take over. Once we let God take the wheel, we got to let him keep it. You know, we can't be in the other seat trying to you know, because that can cause an accident, you know. You've seen people, right? Somebody driving, somebody else grab the wheel, huh? Once you turn it over to God, let him have it. Let him have it. He knows where he's taking us, saints. He knows how to get us there safely. He knows how to navigate us through all the issues and concerns that we have. Not that they aren't legitimate, but God knows what they are. And he knows how to fix it. So stop worrying about it. Trust God to do it. Children are inheritance, heritage of the Lord. They are his inheritance. They belong to him. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. All of these children that we have, they're his. And as much as we love them, he loves them more. And as much as we want to do everything that we can for them, sometimes to a fault, God knows how to do it right. Because even in our best intentions, sometimes we spoil them too much. Sometimes we let them get away with too much, or sometimes we're overbearing. Sometimes we're too hard. You know, the Bible tells the father, you know, not to be hard and really crush the spirit of the sons of the children. We're trying to do it the best way we know how. Amen. They don't want nobody to say nothing to us about our child. We're ready to get mad and fight and cuss them out. And you know, don't be saying nothing to me about my child. Child acting crazy. We know they're acting crazy. But we don't want nobody to tell us they're acting crazy. Amen. I was at home doing something yesterday, maybe cleaning up, doing something, and this old movie came on with Are We There Yet? Anybody remember that movie with Ice Cube and Nia Long and those two bad brats that woman had? And the stuff that those kids did to Ice Cube. Well, you know, you got something just like that or worse. They can't nobody say nothing to, and they're terrorizing the neighborhood. They won't act right in school. They're acting crazy. They're disrespectful. They come to church. They want to act a fool, and don't nobody want nobody to say that. You better let God handle them kids. You better let God fix them kids, and when he starts working on them, you better take your hands off of it and say, God, you got this. I want to step in, but I trust you enough to let you handle it. I want to do what I would normally do in this situation, but I trust you enough to handle it. God, my daughter, my son ain't came in yet, but I'm going to bed. I trust you enough to handle this, to keep them, to watch over them, to protect them. Y'all got any of them kids go out of town and don't tell you? You got some? You got some? Don't tell you nothing. Like you want to be all up in their business, they won't tell you nothing till they back. Then when something happens, they call you, right? You know. Do we have the same kid? Oh, no. Or do they just have the same spirit, you know? Yeah, but something happened, you're the first one they call, you know. Dad, I got a flat tire, can you come and help me? Why are you out here at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and now you want me to get up out of my bed and come and help you? Call them people you were with all the time, let them come and help you. No, son, daughters, if y'all need me, call me. I'm just giving an example. God wants to fix all of that. And we need to trust him enough to let him fix it. Let me move on. Because they belong to him. They belong to him. A lot of things God wants to fix, but we keep getting in the way. We keep getting in the way. A lot of things he wants to teach us and he wants to teach them, but we keep getting in the way. But God loves them more than we love them. He knows he has a plan and a future for them just like for us. If we let God handle it, it may be hard, but if we let God handle it, he'll fix it. And you can have some peace and some rest in the process. Amen. And God's got more money than you. So stop putting your house and everything up for bail money. And then you ain't got no house to live in, and they ain't changed yet. They ain't changed yet. They're gonna change, but they haven't changed yet. Okay, all right. Couple more minutes. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. You know, the mighty man, his arrows, and he launches them and he points them and he directs them where they are designed to go to accomplish his ends and his purposes. As these arrows, happy is the man or the woman that has his quiver full of them. Arrows, children. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now just quickly, you may or may not have a lot of children, but God wants us to know that we do have family. And if we understand that as we have a big family in God, that we have help. We have support. We don't have to stand against the enemies in the gates alone. You know, think about families back then. You're a father, you're a mother, you don't have any children yet, or you may have a couple of children, and then you go up against an enemy that has a large amount of people. That can be very imposing. That can cause you to fear, cause you to back down, cause you to give in. But when you got a big army, you don't mind going up against your enemies because you're confident that you can prevail, you can win. When you have a family that's working together, you can be confident that no matter what you got to face, you're not facing this alone. And if we will work together, pray together, pull together, we can overcome any obstacle, any attack of the enemy, any trial, any testing. That's why the enemy seeks to divide and conquer. Come on, y'all with me? That's why the enemy wants to divide. That's why he wants to pit husbands and wives against each other. That's why he wants the children fighting amongst themselves. That's why he doesn't want the parents and the children working together. That's why he doesn't want the churches to say he wants to divide and conquer. But if we would ever stick together, stay in agreement, we cannot fail as long as we are working with God. You remember in Genesis, what, chapter 11, where the people, the Bible says, they were as one. And they set out to build a city and a tower. And this tower was extending up into the heavens that caused God to take notice and come down. Said, let us go down and see what they're doing. Said, they are as one and now nothing will be impossible to them. These are people, they're working on something, but they're working together. And because they're working together, God says nothing shall be impossible together. What will happen if we start working with God and working with each other? Nothing would be impossible to us. In fact, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believeth. Imagine if two believers get together. What happens? Jesus is in the midst of them. And if Jesus is in the midst of them, whatever we are agreeing on, because we're in agreement with God, it shall come to pass. Imagine if a family got in agreement and say, we're going to trust God together to bring us out of this poverty spirit. We're going to trust God together to break these generational curses. We're going to trust God together to begin to break this bondage that the enemy has us in, that Jesus has already delivered us from. We will see change. We will see change. We will see transformation in our communities. But we've got to let God do it. I said we've got to trust God to do it. So he says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with their enemies in the gates. That word speak there really means they will be equipped to contend with their enemies. They'll be able to stand against their enemies if necessary. You won't run and hide and cower down and be faint and weary and afraid and ashamed, but you'll be able to stand against the enemies. How many know sickness and disease is an enemy? Jesus has delivered us from it, but now we've got to get an agreement and say no more. Debt and poverty is an enemy. We've got to say no more. No more of this. We're not having this anymore. But no, we're standing and we're doing this thing God's way. Huh? Yeah. Every enemy to the family, every enemy to the plan of God, we've got to reject it. And we've got to start letting God work us through these situations. And going forward, we're getting out of debt. Going forward, we're getting healthy. Going forward, we're seeing the families restored. Going forward, we are positioned so that no matter what's happening in the world, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who controls Congress, it won't matter to the people of God, because we are where God has positioned us to do what God wants us to do. And that's to lead the world. To lead. To lead. Because we have the Spirit of God on us. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to take us to one more place and then we'll be done. We will serve communion and enter into this fellowship meal. In Hebrews chapter 3, while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 3, God told the people at Ephesus through the Apostle Paul that God was taking the Jew and the Gentile, and he was making one new man out of the two of them. Jew and Gentile is one new man. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2. You're going to Hebrews chapter 4. And he lets them know that we are really God's building. We are the spiritual habitation. We are the family that God has created. And he has put us together as it has pleased him. How many know you may get to choose your friends? You may get to choose your husbands and wives, but you don't get to choose your family. You just stuck with who you got. You don't get to choose your family. Unless, of course, you're adopting and those types of things. But in general, you don't get to choose your family. God has chosen the family. He's the one who puts the family together, and we just have to accept who God accepts. There are a lot of people in the family we probably would have vetoed. We probably would have looked at them and said, no, not him. No, not her. A lot of people in the family we probably would have, nope. Hey, but think about it. If other people were deciding, we might not be in the family because they might have nixed us. But thanks be to God, whosoever will, let him come. He accepts everybody because he loves all of humanity. And he says all you have to do is accept the gift of eternal life, and you are in my family through Jesus Christ. Now y'all just got to learn how to get along. Can't we just all get along? You got to learn how to help each other and love each other and encourage each other and be patient with each other and put your hands together to the plow and let's work together to accomplish the will of God. Amen. Then you'll learn to appreciate what each one brings to the family, because God is gifted and God has anointed and God has blessed everyone with something. And we begin to value and appreciate it. Last place, and then we'll move forward. Hebrews chapter 3. I might have said 4, but Hebrews chapter 3. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. We'll end here. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, thank you, Lord, of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, or our confession, Christ Jesus. all of us who have confessed him as Savior and Lord, he is that high priest unto us, who was faithful to him that appointed him, that chose him, also as Moses was faithful in all his house, family. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about Christ Jesus, inasmuch, listen, as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. That makes sense to me. The person that builds a thing has more honor than the thing that's built. Because he or she is the one that conceived it. He or she is the one that put it together. He or she is the one that constructed it. And you look at the house and say, man, that's a beautiful house. Well, it's a beautiful house because somebody made it that way. So the one that gets the honor is not the house, it's the builder of the house. Amen? So while Moses was a faithful servant, the builder of the house is the Son. Let's go to the next verse, please. For every house, verse 4, is builded by some or some man. But he that built all things is who? God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. He's testifying about things that God was going to do later. Verse number 6. But Christ as a son over his own house or household. Hold or family. Christ as a son over his own house or household or family. Rest of the verse. Whose house we are. We are of the household of God. We are members of the family of God with Christ as the son over the house. Who built this thing? God built it. Who did he build it through? Jesus Christ, the Son. And every one of us is a member, a part of that household, of that family of God. Verse, the rest of the verse. If we hold fast, firm, the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. These verses we share all the time, but they're appropriate for right now. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. God has been speaking to us through me for a few minutes this morning, a little while. It's up to us to determine. I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm going to hear what God is saying to me. I'm going to take this to heart. I want my family to please God and to be successful. I'm going to take this to heart. I'm going to make whatever changes God wants me to make so that I'm positioned to bless my family. I'm going to trust God that even though it's hard, he's going to make it easier than I thought it would be. How many know a lot of this is in our head? We think it's going to be harder than it has to be. Doesn't have to be that hard. I want to say it again as we get ready to close. It does not have to be that hard. You may think it's going to be hard. God may make it easy. Amen. You may think because somebody else got sick doing chemo that you got to get sick. Not necessarily. If you're undergoing it, you don't have to get sick. You may think because everybody else lost their hair, you're going to lose yours. Not necessarily. You don't have to lose yours. You may think others had to have radiation. Not necessarily. You may not have to have. You may. God can fix it for his people that it doesn't have to work like everybody else's situation. He just wants somebody to trust him and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I thought it might be hard, but however it is, I'm going to do it your way and let God fix it. Let God work it out in the precious name of Jesus. Last verse, he says, so when you hear his voice, don't get hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked. Don't rebel against God like your fathers did. They proved me. They tested me in the wilderness and they saw my works for 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err. Where? In their hearts. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I may read the rest, I may not, but I might just stop here. Think about this. God was ready to deliver the children of Israel into the promised land. That's what he's referring to. But because of their rebellion and their unbelief, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Until all of the adults over 20 years of age, I think, died out. When a journey that some say should have only taken 21 days, 3 weeks. Some suggest the journey could have been shorter than that. But they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until they died, never receiving the promise through their unbelief and their unwillingness to heed God. In closing, the Bible says these things are written for our learning. They're written for our learning. If they wandered around and never received the promises, do you think it's possible that we could wander around for a lifetime, for a generation, and never receive the promises that God has provided for us? Yes. That's why he wrote this, so we can look at this example and say, I'm not going to repeat what Israel did. I'm not going to rebel against God like Israel did. I'm not going to be hard-hearted and stiff-necked like Israel was. I'm not going to be unbelieving and faithless like Israel was. But I choose to believe God and inherit the promises. Through faith, through patience, through perseverance, I'm going to receive everything that God has for me. That's what he's saying here. Don't be like that. When God speaks to you, don't be like them. Don't do what they did. But by faith, receive the word of the Lord. You read the rest because he says there is a rest. Just like there's a blessing of sleep, there is a blessing of rest for the people that have been trying to do this on their own. There is a rest that God wants us to experience so our struggles are over. Our struggles are over and we are resting into the blessing, resting into victory, resting into the recovery, resting into restoration. I'm resting into health. I'm resting into wealth. I'm resting into my purpose. I'm resting into the plan of God. I'm resting because God is building this family. God is keeping this city. God is providing increase and God is giving us his glory. Anybody want to give God some praise today? Believe God today. Believe God today. Believe God today. Believe God and receive from the Lord today.